time for school. Rock School with your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
I am going to screw up a lot of checks now. January 3rd, 2007. Void.
And Chad P.
This is from Chad and I. Get divorced.
I didn't say
you,
that.
You will do so well.
Class is in.
Rock School, good afternoon, everyone. It is the first show of 2008.
Yay, 08!
52 weeks ahead of us, 52 new shows. My resolution for the year is that we will not repeat a show.
No reruns.
52 all the way. One new show a week. All the way to the end of the year, unless they cancel the show because one of us curses on the air. 2008, I am going to screw up a lot of checks now.
Yep.
I really am. I'm just, you know, January 3rd, 2007.
I do it all the time.
Try to make the 7 look like an 8. Mm-hmm. Void. This first show of 2008, as a lot of our shows do, came out of sort of a back and forth that Chad and I were doing on a previous show.
Yeah.
We listened to a song start, and I said, and I think it was a U2 song, I said that
Sunday Bloody Sunday.
That's right. I said that this sounds so much, I mean, when I hear the drum introduction
you
from
know
the
exactly
song.
Exactly what song it is.
Right. There are only a few select songs that the drum introduction denotes the song.
And the light bulb went off.
And the light bulb went off.
Thus, a new show idea was born.
And what I did was I started to go into a lot of these blogs that were online that were from drummers, just as there are, you know, guitar logs and that kind of stuff. There are drum logs. And I never realized how many there were and how many different, you know, setups there were. There are drum logs and percussion logs, and there are blogs just for people who deal with like timpanis and things like that. I mean, it's well split up. But I just went on and I basically looked for blogs that said, what are the best drum intros out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I need to get about 16 songs to do a show, and I had 25 songs, I mean, in a half an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Because, and every one of these guys not only said, here are what I think the greatest drum intros, they could explain why.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it was over my head, but I grabbed songs that I had in my collection so I could put the songs, or put the show together pretty quickly. And I also picked them because I knew them.
Yeah.
And I knew that if I knew them, the audience would know them quickly.
Yeah, right. I'm very familiar with the playlist, and whenever you sent it over to me, you know, about 95% of all of the tracks that we're going to play today, I'm familiar with.
Right.
And they are exactly what we say they are. They are songs that are easily identified by the first intro from the drums.
The 3-second rule.
Yeah.
There's a rule in the world of radio. If your audience doesn't know it within the first 3 seconds, get rid of it.
Mm.
The song has to be so familiar in the first 3 seconds, if you don't know it, get rid of it.
All right.
Let's go back to 1976.
Okay.
The album, Desolation Boulevard. The drummer, Mick Tucker. This is the suite. The next time somebody says, oh, I love that song, Barroom Blitz. Uh-uh.
Mm-mm.
Ballroom Blitz.
Yeah,
not
right.
Barroom Blitz. Ballroom Blitz, because the man in the back is ready to attack as he raises his hands to the sky on Rock School.
So hard to live in.
Mick Tucker on drums of the Sweets, the Ballroom Blitz.
Yep.
That's a song inspired from a 1973 problem when they were playing in Scotland, and apparently the people were drunk and didn't like the band, so they actually drove them off the stage by throwing beer bottles at them,
nice.
And they called it the Ballroom Blitz.
You know, I actually got first exposed to that song from the movie Wayne's World.
Yeah.
You remember the girl that he was attracted
Tia
to?
Tia Carrere.
Wow.
How about that? I could come up with that right off the top of my head.
You.
You know, we never introduced ourselves.
We know who we are.
We know who we are, but they don't. Those people, look deep into the microphone. You can see them.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you're doing. I'm Joe Burns. You are?
Chad P.
Moving along. Yep. Do you know Steve Gadd?
Steve Gadd.
G-A-D-D.
Steve
Gadd is generally given the moniker of creating the disco beat. And the reason he's given that moniker is he was the drummer on Van McCoy's The Hustle.
Okay.
Do The Hustle. Dun, 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 dun. We're not going to play The Hustle. Those of you who are reaching for your either
turn the
on
dial.
Or off button or to change the channel, no, we're not going to play The Hustle. What we are going to play is Paul Simon's 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. And again, I'm not a drummer, but from what I understand, this is really something. This is from 1975. This is from the album Still Crazy after all of these years. This is a studio guy named Steve Gadd. He's from Los Angeles. And apparently, this was explained to me one time, my last radio station, the guy who wrote the copy, the guy who wrote all of the commercials and such, he was a drummer.
Okay.
And he explained that this was done by having obviously a stick in one hand. And then what he did is he had two sticks in his right hand.
Really?
They were, one was coming out between the middle finger and the index finger, and then one between the middle finger and the ring finger.
Huh.
And he was hitting the snare with his left hand and then was moving back and forth, hitting both the cymbals and then the stand that held the cymbals.
Wow.
To get that real back and forth feel. But it's done with three sticks. And this guy would not shut up about how amazing this introduction was. So, on the drum intros, it's Paul Simon's 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover, right here, Rock School. Holy cow, it's Rhyming Simon.
No joke. Who wrote this song? Dr. Seuss?
Yeah, it could be. Theodore Geisel.
About the back, Jack. Get on the bus, Gus.
It's a good tune, though.
I
it really
do not
is.
Like them, Sam I Am.
That's right. I will not eat them on a bus. I will not eat them. He wrote that song after the divorce from his first wife, Peggy Harper. And we also got a song I brought along from Phil Collins. He wrote a lot of his hits after his first divorce as well.
What is it about divorce that inspires musicians to write?
Yeah, those of you out there who are trying to be a musician, this is from Chad and I. Get divorced.
I didn't say
that. You will do so well. Just find it. Irreconcilable differences. You don't really even need a reason. Just
what
go ahead.
Kick off 08.
Sorry, just
maybe the Rock School guys said.
We're here for you. We're here for
I'll
you.
Be successful.
We're here for you. We're here for you. Luckily, my wife's coming in today. In my college days.
Oh, here we go.
The song Centerfold came out, and the J. Geils Band exploded from being this northeastern Massachusetts doo-wop band that had some local success to this monster of a band. Do you remember what their logo was, the J. Geils Band?
No.
It was this orange or yellowish circle with a blue handprint right in the middle of it.
Oh.
And I remember that being a sticker that was just pasted all over the place. And they came out with their 11th album. It was one of these things. They're an overnight sensation who had already put out 10 albums
exactly.
At that point.
11th album.
The J. Geils Band. If you want to know who is the J. Geils in the J. Geils Band, it's James Geils, the guitarist in the band. The drummer who created this introduction, it's one of these very simple, straight beat, no syncopation, but it's one of these, as soon as you hear it,
you know what it is.
Stephen Blad, boom, tsh, boom, tsh, boom, tsh, Boom.
Yep.
Love Stinks.
Sounds like this.
Jay Giles on Rock School. Stinks, Jay Giles Band, and we play that right after we tell the
yep.
aspiring people of the world to get a divorce. That's good programming,
I'm
right there.
I'm inspired to go watch The Wedding Singer now.
Yeah, that was a good movie, wasn't it? Especially when the secondary guy come out and sing the Boy George songs.
Yeah,
We're never gonna play Boy George on this show.
Never say never.
Never, 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 never. We'll be back with Billy Squire in just a minute. Rock School, we talk about great drum intros. We are playing nothing but songs where you can tell them simply because of the drum intro.
Yep.
We are going on with Billy Squire back from 1981. This is a song called The Stroke, and it's all about people who will tell you how wonderful you are because you are the next great thing. You know, oh, you're wonderful. Here's my tape. Listen to my tape.
I get that all the time.
Me too. It really is something
else. Comes with the territory.
Bobby Chouinard is the drummer on this album. He looks a lot like Meatloaf. Seriously, when you go and you watch the video on YouTube, when I saw it, the first thing down at the bottom where you can leave these notes, it said, is that Meatloaf on the drums? No, it's not Meatloaf on the drums. It's Bobby Chouinard. Here's what I want you to listen to.
What?
This thing goes, it's just a basic beat to begin with. Boom, tsh, boom, tsh. Except the snare drum hit, listen to it. It goes boom, shoom, boom, shoom. It seems to slide into it. That's something called a reverse reverb. Now, first of all, what is a reverb? Think of reverb as a descending echo. So it would go boom and fall away.
Oh, look at you.
So here's what happens. What you would do, and this was done back when tape was done.
Yeah.
What you would do is you would hit the snare drum. Bang.
Bang.
You would then take the tape and turn it backwards.
Reverse it. So it would go
whack. That's right. You would hit the drum, and the drum beat would go because it would be backwards.
Yep.
Swoop, and then that whoop would then have reverb on the opposite side of it. So it would go whoop. So when you turn it around, take the tape, then turn it around, the drum beat is back to forward, but the reverb is no longer trailing it. The reverb is leading up to it. So it's going up to it. So that effect, you can hear it on all kinds of Aerosmith songs
for
Toys in the Attic.
Yep.
And this is a big one. So listen to it right at the beginning. Every time he hits the snare, when the snare hits, you'll hear it go whoom. And it almost sounds, a lot of people think he's like doing a drum roll up to a zoom. And it's not it. That's a reverse reverb. It's a studio trick done with tape where they actually turn the tapes around. Take a listen. Listen. Hear that?
Yep.
That's a reverse reverb. Here's Billy Squire on Rock School.
Now everybody, have you heard? If you're in the game, then the stroke's the word. Don't take no rhythm, don't take no style. You got a thirst for killing.
That's a brilliant sound.
Say you're a winner, baby.
just a sending out.
Ah, man, loved Billy Squire. Absolutely adored Billy Squire. There you go, on Rock School.
Now, all those other voices in there, like, did he have, like, an entourage of voices in there?
Oh, no, that's him. That's him. That's just him? multi-tracking.
That's a lot of multi-tracks.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like he had a whole room full of people in there.
Here's a real interesting piece of trivia. What? Again, another guy we'll probably never play on this radio station, but who was the first person to actually record himself as his own backing vocals? It was done in the early 1970s.
Okay,
go ahead.
Hold on.
Go
guy
ahead.
Will never play. Guy will never play. Michael Bolton.
Barry Manilow.
Okay.
Yeah, Barry Manilow. And
there
the thing
eventually.
About it is, it really is something else. And I'm trying to think of the guy who sang "Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa, men have named you." Nat King Cole. Mm-hmm. Nat King Cole, in his variety show, used to come out with a two-track tape, a reel-to-reel tape.
Yeah.
And he would come out and sing with his band. Mm-hmm. He had a live band on stage with him. He would come out and sing with his band, turn on the tape to record, sing with his band, and he would sing the harmony part to a famous song, and people would be sitting there going, "What is this? What are you singing?" And it would be weird.
Mm-hmm.
He would then roll the tape back. He'd do this live.
Okay.
You want to talk about confidence. This guy would do this live. He would roll the tape back then, and he would play the tape and then sing the melody line. So live, he was harmonizing with himself on TV.
Hey.
Honest to goodness, Nat King Cole was doing this back in the early days of television, back in the mid-1960s. Honest to goodness. Now that, it's not just that the technology of it was something. Can you imagine the guts
man.
To do that live?
Because if you're one note off.
And how many things could go wrong?
Oh, yeah.
The mics didn't work. The tape didn't work. The machine didn't work. The this, the that. How many things could have gone wrong? The safaris. Anybody. See, when you say, "I play the drums," you know, okay, do you really play the drums or do you just kind of
beat stuff?
You kind of go like this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Every human being in the world can go. They think they're a member of the Safaris. Ron Wilson played what is maybe the most famous, if not the most famous, the most imitated drum introduction in the world.
Yep.
Came out in 1962, wasn't even supposed to be the hit. The hit was supposed to be something called Surfer Joe. Ever heard of Surfer Joe?
Nope.
Me either.
No, but I know this one.
Radio stations got the single. They looked at it and went, "Surfer Joe." Oh, that's okay. What's on the B-side? Oh, this is good. The Safaris, Wipeout on Rock School.
Wipeout.
I think he had a metronome when he was playing.
No, he is slowing down. I've played that song 80 jillion times. That song has been in every rotation of every radio station I've been at. And I know at the end, is he getting tired, do you think?
He might be. I didn't realize it until you pointed it out. And then I listened to it. I went, wow, he's kind of slowing down.
He is slowing down. I doubt he's getting tired. I'll bet they just didn't have a metronome. It was one of these things. I know they just brought these people in. This was recorded back in the early 60s when they didn't put out albums.
Yeah.
The people just brought him in and said, okay, let's put out a single and see what happens.
You know, I mean, I've been the victim of that, you know, where we just start off playing this really jamming song and you're so into it, you exert so much energy at
and
the
you
beginning
calm down.
That by the time the song's over, you
and off you go.
Yep.
I've had drummers change tempo on me to the point where I've actually turned around and looked at them.
Oh, I hate the look.
And they shrug.
My dad does that to
me. Stop changing tempo
on
me.
He's a country singer and I'm a rock drummer, so I get in there and try to just put whatever I can into the song,
and
if
he
doesn't
stares
like,
at you,
oh, he'll come around giving that look of death.
Hey, bottom of the hour. I want you to go to the website for one reason, and it's kind of odd. Chad and I made our way to Santa Claus.
Yep.
We stood on either side of Santa Claus, and I almost feel bad about this.
Why?
My son sat on Santa Claus's lap, and he smiled like an angel, and he told Santa Claus he wanted Spider-Man for Christmas, and lo and behold, somehow Santa Claus got him Spider-Man for Christmas.
I wonder how.
I have no idea how it happened.
That guy can do anything.
It's amazing. But
Chad
and I got into the side of Santa Claus, and we had Santa Claus give the Aussie devil sign with both of his hands, and Chad and I gave the same sign, and
yep.
It is on the website,
yes.
KSLU.org, not com, .org, and look for the chalkboard on the right that says Rock School, look under pictures, and there it is.
Yep.
So write us an email. Chad has the address.
KSLU Rock School at gmail.com. KSLU Rock School at gmail.com.
Welcome to 2008. It's the first stump of 2008.
That's right.
And there's an old saying in sports, the team that scores first usually wins the game.
All right,
so
here we go.
It's the first stump of 2008. This is about Cheap Trick.
What do you know about Cheap Trick?
A little bit. You know, they're a northern band. They're out of Illinois, as far as I know.
Okay.
And the drummer, since we're talking about drum intros today, is Bun E. Carlos.
Uh-huh.
It's not his real name, believe it or not.
Bunny?
Yeah, Bun E. Carlos. He's from Illinois. Their big album was Live at Budokan. We're going to play I Want You to Want Me. It's, believe it or not, it's a Ricky Nelson tune. It was originally on their album In Color, but what everybody knows is the live album where Robin Zander comes out, I want you to want me.
Yep.
I haven't hit the answer yet?
No.
Okay, shoot.
No,
shoot.
This is actually something that happened this year.
Oh, okay. Well, Bun E. Carlos gave up smoking.
No.
Okay,
no.
Shoot.
June 19th of this year, you know, they're from Illinois.
Right.
And the state of Illinois has just embraced this band so much to the level that they actually put the Rockford album cover art on the city sticker vehicle registration in Illinois.
Yeah.
But on June 19th of 2007, the Illinois Senate passed Senate Resolution number 255, which designates this date of every year as Cheap Trick Day.
This date?
Yeah.
Rockford.
This date. Every year this date.
Every year this date, Rockford,
mm-hmm.
Illinois.
I will give you a hint.
Yes.
I will give you a hint. This was passed June 19th. The date had already passed.
June 19th.
June
Rock.
19th, the date had already passed.
The
so anything past June 19th is not it.
Okay.
That's as much as I can do for you, and we only have about 25 minutes left.
Is this something I can guess at?
Probably so, yeah, because it's not an awkward date. Come on, fool.
January 1st?
No, April 1st.
April Fools.
Score one for the visitors!
I want you to stump me!
I want you to want me.
How many people have covered this song?
Numerous. And it's because of that. It's because of that Budokan song there, that Live at Budokan, I Want You to Want Me. Love that tune. The Moody Blues.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're not going to play Knights in White Satin, are you?
No,
we're not. The Moody Blues are part of that. We talked about this a few shows back in 1997, or in 2007. Wow, am I back?
What?
Wow, was that back? You didn't know we'd been doing the show that long, did you?
No, I didn't.
They were part of that movement back in the 70s of progressive rock. They were also sometimes called psychedelic rock and nice and slow, Could they rock? Could they actually pump a little bit? Well, yeah, they could. They had an album in 1972 called The Seventh Sojourn. And they, on that, Graham Edge had a hand. That was the drummer. He had a hand in writing a song called I'm Just a Singer in a Rock and Roll Band. And most people know this one because it starts as a nice, slow drum beat, and it was normally their opener, believe it or not. It came out, the curtains opened up, and blum, 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 and it just kept getting faster and faster until the guitar took over the beat. And it was their show opener, and they got the crowd riled, and then into Knights of White Satin, I guess.
So the drummer wrote a song.
The drummer wrote a song.
Doesn't that go against all of you rock star creeds and everything?
No, we like it. We like it when drummers write a song.
You just write jokes about every...
No. We're into charity. We like to help as much as we possibly can.
I'm going for some coffee.
Graham Edge is the only original remaining member of the Moody Blues, who still tours, by the way. I'm just a singer in a rock and roll band. Here's the Moody Blues on Rock School. Drum intros for an hour right here in Rock School.
So they opened the show with that?
Yeah.
And then a
big
letdown.
Yeah, right into Knights in White Satin. It's like going to see the Association, and they sing all these sappy love songs, and then they blow into Along Comes Mary, I guess. I guess every band that does sappy, sweet psychedelics and all that has one explosive rock song. Peter, Paul, and Mary. Mm-hmm. There's all of these, you know, Puff the Magic Dragon and all that. And then they sing I Dig Rock and Roll Music that has an electric guitar solo in the middle of it. So,
you know,
every
variety.
Song, every group has to have one rock tune, I guess, to show that they're a motorcycle band that rides mopeds. We'll be back in 1 minute with Chad's favorite on Rock School. Rock School, as we talk about drum introductions. And again, I'll tell you where this came from. We were doing a show, and we were playing Sunday Bloody Sunday by U2, and I looked at Chad, and I said, that's one of very few songs that I know the second the drum comes in.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to start the show with the next song that we're going to play, and I thought to myself, let's play some lesser knowns. Yeah. I kind of wanted people to go, oh, I remember that. Oh, I know that. Oh, I remember
Everybody knows this.
I'm kind of the opinion the one we're about to play is the second most well-known drum introduction. I'm willing to bet if I put everything next to each other, Wipeout may very well be the best known drum introduction.
I disagree. I think it's that one.
Okay, you think this one?
Yep.
So we'll play this one after the song we're about to play.
I would call this number two, and I'd call that number one.
Okay, well, let's put them in order then. So let's play Brad. I don't know why I called you Brad. Chad's
Brad's
number
my
two.
Cousin. I got a cousin named Brad.
Okay, well, that's what it is. I've been hanging out with your cousin all Christmas break. We're going to go Aerosmith.
Joey Kramer.
Walk This Way, two measures of brilliant drumming that everybody seems to know. It, in fact, is so popular and so well known. When I teach audio class here at Southeastern Louisiana University, and I teach the concept of editing and how to match beats and all of that, that's what I use.
Well, yeah.
I chop those two measures off the front, and I say, now listen, and I cut it, and I show them 1, 2, 3, 4, and I teach them how to make it a loop, and it goes boom, tss, da, boom, boom, tss, and I have it do that forever.
Yep.
And I show them how to work with it. So, according to Chad, this is number two. We'll be back with his number one, Aerosmith. How do I walk? How do I walk?
This way.
I walk this way on Rock School.
Sure to be a change in your ways. I met a cheerleader, was a real young breed. Old times I can reminisce. All the best things of loving with a sister and a cousin. Only started with a little kiss like this.
that song 400 times.
Joe Perry does rip up
400 different ways.
The 5th and the 12th fret, doesn't he?
I saw it at the MTV VMAs with Kid Rock.
Yeah.
I saw them perform it at the Super Bowl halftime show with Justin Timberlake and Britney when she had all of her cents. And
that's about 40 cents, isn't it? She
yeah.
has.
Yeah. 51, y'all.
Oh,
I never get tired of that song. But I reiterate, I think that's number
two. You think that's the number two drum intro, and you think the one that's coming up is the number one drum intro. Well,
there's,
you know,
you cannot confuse this song with anything else. When you hear it, you know for a fact what it is.
All right, well, we're going to go back. This is according to Chad. This is the number one, and you're a drummer, so I'm going to defer to your genius as we do drum intros.
Oh, save that.
This is, yeah, keep
save
that one on
that
tape.
On
That's
tape.
Digital tape. Going back to 1977, this was written by Brian May. A lot of people think this was written by Freddie Mercury. It was not. This was written by Brian May. The drummer is Roger Taylor. The way they get it, if you hear it live in concert, it's played on a single drum kit. It doesn't have quite the same oomph. When you hear it on record, it is multiple drum kits, multiple drums playing the same boom, boom, tsh, boom, boom, tsh,
figured it out?
With a ton of compression and a ton of reverb. It doesn't recreate well live, but on record, it sounds like a jewel. According to you, it's number one.
I think it's number one. It almost sounds like feet stomping and hands clapping.
Which is what happens when it gets played at the sports arenas. Have you figured it out? Oh. You know, I got to agree with you. I got to agree with you.
For once, I think I know what I'm talking about.
I think so.
Buddy, you're a boy, make a...
Squeal. Squeal.
See, I'm
love
just,
that.
You know, and I give it to you off mic. I think Wipeout is a very respectable third.
So if you had to pick drum intros, you would do We Will Rock You first.
Yeah.
And walk this way second.
Yeah.
You put Wipeout third.
Yeah.
I think you have to put Wipeout third. I know it wasn't a monster hit, and I know if you're going to go out to a club or you're going to go to a concert, you're not going to hear Wipeout.
I don't really think a hit has a whole lot to do with it. I just think that if it's a song that has that distinctive drum intro.
Yeah, but everybody can do that. Everybody knows that with the accent on the fourth beat again and again and
again.
That's
what I'm saying. Yeah, you know, it's distinctive enough to where everybody knows it.
Well, there you go. The first one's in the can. The first of 52 shows, unless they fire us for 2008. A new show every week. We are Thursdays at
5.
And we are Sundays at
4.
And we are looking forward to having you out there every single one of those. And unless something terrible happens,
one host calling the other host by the wrong name?
Yeah, that would be bad. So just go ahead and call me John and get it over with.
No problem, Jeff.
Okay. Oh, Jeff. Oh, very good. I can think of some people named Jeff that I'd rather be. So we're done. That's the first one for the year. So we got 51 more to go. That's the drum intro show, and we will see you next week. We finish with a guy named Gary Malibur. He plays for the Steve Miller Band. He is also the touring drummer for Eddie Money. Everybody knows this one. 1976, Take the Money and Run. As we finish up the drum intro song, my name is
Jeff Burns.
Jeff Burns, and you're Brad P. Yeah, Brad P. We are done. The drum intro show is finished. Class is dismissed.
Get out.